Dear brothers and sisters, to what extent do you consider the importance of prayer? Do you think it's okay to pray when there's time and not pray if there's no time? Or have you heard about the importance of prayer but failed to keep in mind the importance of it? Or do you make an effort to pray because you feel as though you must? Prayer is necessary in our religious life. It is a proof that we are children of God who receive the Holy Spirit. Prayer is a conversation with our Father God. It would not be an appropriate relationship if there is no conversation between father and child. Prayer is also the key to all answers. Answers come when we move God's heart by pleasing and gratifying Him through prayer. No matter the amount of faith, it will be of no use if you did not ask and pray to God. God answers people who ask and reaches out to those who earnestly seek Him. When we seek with faith, He makes it sure to work according to our faith. This is the justice in receiving answers. So, there's no such thing as overemphasizing or over-exaggerating the importance of prayer. Jesus, the prophets, and the apostles knew all about the importance of prayer. They entrusted everything to Father God through prayer, no matter the difficulties. But praying mindlessly doesn't mean that you will receive a definite answer. It's important to know why and how we pray, and then pray according to God's will. From today, over the course of a few sessions, we will talk about prayer in detail. I pray in the name of the Lord that through the Word, you will all realize the importance of prayer, how to pray, and how to pray to receive power. May you experience the great power of prayer every day. Dear brothers and sisters, to truly understand the importance of prayer, we must first know why we need to pray. The content of your prayer and your heart and attitudes in praying differ depending on your level of understanding of the reason for prayer. It doesn't mean you have to find a reason to pray. If you have faith and love for God as God's children who have received salvation, it's only natural that you pray. As you accept Jesus Christ as the Savior, attain the forgiveness of sins, and receive the Holy Spirit as a gift, you obtain the authority to become a child of God. As you come to know your true Father, you feel similar like young children wanting to see and talk with their parents whom they've been apart for a long time. Let's say you have been looking for your lost parents, and after a long time you reunite with your parents, and how overjoyed you would be. For days you want to stay attached to them. You want to always stay with them, catching up on what happened and share affection. Just as a man and a woman who love each other talk endlessly, they also talk, share their concerns and what they have. And our spiritual father, He listens to, when we let Him our worries and requests, He can resolve all things. So, if you believe that Father God is our spiritual father, why would you find it burdensome or difficult to talk with Him? So, you have to check whether you think of your God as your own father, or Even in our physical relationships, parents and children, if they are not getting along well, they don't talk much. They are really their biological parents, but because there's no love, children don't like to talk to their parents. They don't want to share what happened during the day. And at night, even during a meal, during dinner, they don't talk much. That proves they don't have love, affection among them. You believe that Father God is your father, but if you don't pray, that means you have no love, and you have no, you lack. So, no matter the reason, you have to offer prayer as God's children. As a child of God, if only you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you pray because you desire to see and talk with Father God. If you love someone, you want to talk to them all night. You wouldn't feel tired nor bored and feel as though time went by too quickly when together. Likewise, you would find ways to pray to communicate with God if you love God. If you say you love God but do not pray, then it's not truthful love. The greater your faith in and love for God are, the more you pray. Also, the forefathers in the Bible who had great faith did not stop praying just because they had faith. The more they had faith and relied on God, the more they prayed to God about the most trivial things and received guidance. It was not because they had problems. They just prayed without ceasing. Despite the risk of being thrown into the lion's den and facing death, Prophet Daniel had faith and loved God so much that he prayed steadfastly. So, if you have faith and love God, you would naturally pray. So let's look into why we need to pray. First, we must pray to accomplish God's kingdom and His righteousness. If you have faith and love God, you'd first pray for God's kingdom and His righteousness rather than yourself. Jesus said, praying for righteousness means if there are people who pray about their physical things, but we have to pray for God's kingdom and righteousness about your these are spiritual prayer. We have to offer up such prayer first. This is the prayer that Father God wants from us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God will provide necessities like food, clothes, and shelter if we seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first. While on this earth, Jesus worked hard to pray earnestly, a prayer focusing on the lost souls and for the expansion of God's kingdom. The reason for Jesus' coming to this world and subsequent crucifixion was to save souls. So, we who have been saved through the blood of Jesus must also save souls and expand the kingdom of God first. Because the work of accomplishing the kingdom of God lies in the spiritual world, it cannot be done through man's power, knowledge, and experience. As it can only be accomplished in spirit, you must pray to God and receive the grace and power from above. This can only be possible through prayer. In achieving spiritual works, you cannot reap fruits without prayer, no matter how faithful you seem to be. The enemy devil and Satan try to hinder the expansion of God's kingdom anyhow, so it's important that we receive spiritual strength and crush the forces of darkness solely through prayer. This way, we can win the spiritual battle prior to winning in reality in this physical world. Second, we must pray for our souls to prosper. When we receive the Holy Spirit, our spirit, which has been dead, revives and inspires us to live in the truth. Because our spirit was previously dead, we were controlled by the soul, which is governed by darkness. Now it's important for us to change into spiritual people who are inspired by the Spirit. But if you don't pray, then the Spirit cannot stay alive. This is because prayer is our spiritual breath. No matter how alive we appear on the outside, it's useless if our Master, our Spirit within us, is dead. Brother and sister, we have to keep this strongly in mind. We are well aware of this. We are composed of spirit, soul, and body. And if we accept the Lord, our Savior, and receive the Holy Spirit awakens our spirit, brings our spirit to life. And even after we have our spirit alive again, we have to keep our spirit, we have to keep making our spirit grow. Otherwise, the spirit can be, we have to truly become a man of spirit. This is the point. This is the purpose of our Christian life. And this is the purpose of God's cultivating human beings. To do this, we have to make our spirit breathe. Physically, if we block our nostrils, block our mouth, if we stop breathing, what would happen? What would happen if you stop breathing? Then could you sustain your life for some athletes may survive without breathing for a minute, but people could not bear. But what about our spiritual breath? Let's say your spirit is out of breath. You have to realize the situation. Christians know that prayer is a spiritual breath, but many people don't like to pray because their spirit is not visible. When their physical body is sick, they complain about their pain, they take medicine, people work out, and take medicine. But do they live for their spirit, which is not visible? Even while their spirit is in trouble, even though their spirit is suffocated, they don't, even if you're here attending service, some people may feel bored of listening to sermons. They wouldn't receive grace from the sermon. But you have to also receive grace through the sermon. We have to make your spirit filled. Even after you receive grace through the sermon, you have to pray so that you can maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Although the spirit is alive, if you don't pray continuously, then you'll still be controlled by the soul. Some people pray and then stop praying. They pray for a few weeks and then they stop praying. When they pray with the fullness of the Spirit, they think in spirit. When they pray with the fullness, they are happy. As they start their new day, they are happy. And they think about, they have a new resolution and they can guard their heart. But what would happen if they stop praying? What would happen the next day? They wouldn't have the fullness, but they would involve fleshly thoughts. They would get annoyed, they would judge and condemn others. because we have spirit and soul, and the soul is controlled by Satan. What we see and hear is what we see and hear relates to the soul. So if we have the fullness, we can control everything, but otherwise we are controlled by the soul, and we get to judge and condemn others. We get to feel agitated. We live like a man of the soul. We have to become the man of the spirit. After we have our spirit revived, we have to live as the man of the spirit. But we have to be fully guided by the Holy Spirit. We have to stay awake in prayer. In the end, as the soul becomes the master, the spirit stays inactive. Even if the spirit tries to inspire you to live in the truth, you fall into darkness, being controlled by the soul. While you attend service, you make a resolve not to involve fleshly thoughts, not to live as the man of the soul. You make such resolutions, but you have to fulfill your resolution. Then you have to keep praying, stay awake. Then you can be provided with the strength from above, and you can have your soul under your control. That's how you make your soul prosper. To be someone whose spirit is the master and rules over the soul and the body, we must pray daily. Through prayer, we can defeat the forces of darkness that try to control the soul. We will be able to block its external reinforcements and follow the desires of the Holy Spirit. What are external reinforcements? Through what we see and hear, our soul is controlled. That's external reinforcement. So we are to become men of spirit quickly. So we have to do that. We have to block what we see and hear. That doesn't mean we have to cover our ears and covers ears and eyes while living this world. We cannot do that. People can get access information so easily through smartphones, fleshly things. This is your choice. It's up to your choice. While living in this world, while we see and hear, it depends on what your interests write. Depending on what kind of interest you have, what kind of... even though someone keeps talking about... Let's say someone keeps gossiping. Someone keeps gossiping about a person, then you don't want to hear that. And you also have to check whether you have gossip about others. You have to check your ears and eyes, and so that way you can examine whether you're a man of the soul or a man of the spirit. You're to pray like that. Father God, during the day, I heard that. Please help me. But I want to focus on spiritual things more. You have to pray from your heart. Then the next day, you don't want to see worthless things and hear worthless things. You have such things in mind. But if you don't pray with all your heart, you cannot make that happen. But if you pray wholeheartedly, the next day, you will experience such grace. Why? Because you pray in spirit. The Holy Spirit controls your spirit. Because you paved the way, so even after you wake up in the morning, you are provided with the strength from the Spirit, and you can live gradually. We can cast up sins, change into spirit, and resemble the Lord more. This is the power of prayer. To resemble the Lord, we need to throw away sins from within and become sanctified as a person of spirit. But this sin cannot be easily cast off by man's strength. For example, when you realize what sins are through the Word and make a resolve to throw them away, do the sin actually get removed? though there may be differences depending on a person's heart feel and his inner heart, most people can't. When you pray, you need to receive the grace and power given by God from above. You also need to receive the help of the Holy Spirit to throw away sins and be transformed in the Spirit. So, even after you've discovered sins, you cannot cast them off without prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, "For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." By making the words we hear settled and engraved in our hearts through prayer, we can cast off all forms of evil and become children of light who resemble Father God. Third, we must pray not to fall into temptation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This means that if you don't watch and pray, you can fall into temptation. Flesh, the world, and untruth infiltrate you when you stop praying. When that happens, you fall into sins and cannot receive protection from God. Then you end up facing various tests and tribulations. But if you watch and pray, you can prevent upcoming tests in advance. Even if you face tests, you'll be able to drive them away quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 tell us that it is God's will to pray without ceasing, and 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 reminds us that ceasing to pray is a sin. If you stop praying, Satan will soon interfere. It will take control of your thoughts and instill doubts continually. If you are a person who stands on the rock of faith, your faith won't shake, nor will doubt appear. But if you are not on the rock of faith, you may have doubts coming in and make your faith gradually weaken. Of course, there is no reason for faith to decrease if it's spiritual faith. But the faith of those not on the rock of faith is not yet perfect. If they stop praying, Satan will work to make them waver and take away their faith. So, thus it is important to always pray and keep your faith so that Satan cannot infiltrate and steal your faith away. If you've already stood on the rock of faith or above, you need to pray for greater faith. Dear brothers and sisters, there are times in your life of faith where tests arise even though you are fervent and pray without ceasing. These tests are for you to gain blessings. Students who study hard showcase their abilities through various tests and receive recognition and awards when successful. This process is also similar in faith. If you succeed over a test, it's a proof that your faith has grown and that your soul is prospering. Also, blessings follow as a result. Even if you don't pass tests perfectly, you can check your faith and achieve the growth of your faith through these tests. If you stay awake, if you
왜 통과하지 못했는지를 다시 점검하지 않겠습니까?
Even if you don't pass tests perfectly, you have an opportunity to examine yourself, and it also helps you improve. While we are learning spiritually, while you cast off flesh works of the flesh, and then you don't have obvious sins and evil revealed. So you may be slow in discovering your sins and evil, but through tests and trials, you realize about yourself. You still realize that you still have a narrow heart. You still have things to cast off, and you can. That's why you test and go through tests and trials, which is a blessing, and you can. Even after you fail, you check yourself, and then you can succeed. Succeed. In the following tests, so there's no reason for us to be afraid of tests. So don't be afraid of any forthcoming tests. Always watch and pray so that no matter the tests, you'll be able to overcome them and glorify God. a point we must not forget is that if we are servants or workers of the Lord in a position to look after the souls, we need to always watch and pray, not just for ourselves, but for the souls under our care so that they don't fall into temptation. There's no way for a shepherd to remain silent when a lion or a bear comes to prey on his sheep. Likewise, if you are a true servant or a worker of the Lord, it's important to remember your natural duty, which is always watching and praying to protect the souls entrusted to you from the enemy devil and Satan and from temptation. Fourth, we must pray to receive everything from above by acknowledging and entrusting all things to God. Everything can refer to what we need spiritually and physically, such as wisdom, resolution of life's problems, peace between people, the ability to do God's work, etc. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Those who've entrusted everything to God don't need to worry or be anxious. They simply need to present their requests to God with thanksgiving. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 writes, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. As written, those with faith believe they've already received their prayer requests and are thankful instead of being worried. But a person, this is a kind of prayer that pleases God indeed. But a person who cannot acknowledge God in everything lacks faith in God. Instead of praying and entrusting everything to God, he relies on his own efforts, thoughts, and knowledge. Even after you pray, you involve your fleshly thoughts and knowledge. Many of you may pray, "Father God, please give me guidance. Please inspire my, please govern my life." And when you make a decision, you ask God, "Father, please make the decision on my behalf." But even after you pray like that, after a little while, after the prayer is over, you think about what would benefit you better, what would you make you exalted more. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. Let's say you are to move into a new place, you pray, and then you have to physically look for places to move into. So, Father God, you have to pray, "Father God, please help me move into a good place, good apartment. Father, I will visit a realtor's office. Please let the realtor give me good guidance. When he shows me options, please give me inspiration that I can make a best choice." And then you visit a realtor's office with a prayerful heart, and when you have to, should try to feel what the Holy Spirit inspires you. But some people, they think about how much money they would make. They only think about the physical benefits. And then, at the same time, they pray for God's guidance. So you have to discern things well. Of course, we are living in the physical world. So just praying is not everything. We have to live our life. While we live our life, we have to receive guidance. We have to work hard, and then we have to receive God's guidance, and we have to work better performance. This is what we have to do. You pray, and then if you calculate this and that, if you think about everything, everything, and then if you believe that God is the creator of all things in the universe and in control of man's life and death and blessings and curse, then you can entrust everything to God. Only what we proceed by praying and entrusting things to God with faith is true. There are people in the world who have accumulated lots of wealth through their own efforts, but this has nothing to do with God and can instantly disappear in times of trials and tribulations. Once their soul lives, it's no use at all. But if you obtain something by relying on God and praying, it won't just last on this earth. There will also be rewards in heaven. That's why we say that only what is received through God is a true blessing. So, those who have faith and acknowledge God in all things must pray to receive everything from above. I've just explained the four reasons to pray. Everyone, please keep the reasons for prayer in mind, and you have the resolve to pray. But even if you resolve to pray, if you stop praying, what would happen? You have to guard your heart. You guard your heart and remind yourself of the reasons to pray. You have to keep listening to the message again. And you have to realize, remind yourself that with prayer, you can cancel sins and you have to make a resolve and always make yourself prosper through prayer. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All dementia, all the mental diseases go away. All the paralysis go away. Let them get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, the devil, Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, and the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false and deceitful spirits, disappointing spirits, all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and their families become evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervent to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.